From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Hey, we had our first live video chat tonight. It went great. I had a great time. Next hour, a doctor says that doctors are more harmful than germs. Stand by for that. Well, here's what's happening. A tsunami advisory has now been issued in Japan after a 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck off the coast of Japan's main island of Honshu. A CNN correspondent said that she could feel the earthquake in Tokyo, 267 miles southwest of the quake's epicenter, and said that the shaking lasted as long as 3 minutes. That's a big quake. No significant damage reported yet. Maybe a sign of things to come. Keep your eyes and ears open for this one. A possible global pandemic, they say, of catastrophic proportions has reared its ugly head in the Far East, home to many pandemic viruses. This time, it is not a 30% death rate. It is an 85% death rate. It's called the Cambodian avian flu virus. Avian flu has been around for centuries, but so have other pandemics. But an 85% mortality rate, that's pretty darn high. The Ministry of Health of Cambodia has announced a new confirmed case of the human infection with the avian influenza A. They call it the H5N1 virus. We'll keep our eyes on this one. Of the 13 cases of this virus infection confirmed since 2005 in Cambodia, not a lot yet, 11 have been fatal. A coronal mass ejection exploded from the vicinity of sunspot 1164 during the late hours of March 7th. It jumped away from the sun, traveling so fast, making it the fastest CME since September of 2005. This one and at least one other could brush against Earth's magnetic field on March 9th or 10th. Get ready for that. Millions of dead fish were found floating in a Southern California marina. Boaters awakened to find a carpet of small, silvery fish surrounding their vessels. California Fish and Game officials say the fish are anchovies and sardines. Experts have yet to determine what really happened, but they do say that they think the fish moved into the harbor to escape a red tide, which is a naturally occurring bloom of toxic algae that can poison fish or starve them of oxygen. But I'm telling you, some of the boats in this marina couldn't get through it. The fish were so thick, the dead fish, they couldn't get through. The number of Americans who owe more on their mortgages than their homes are worth rose at the end of last year, preventing many people from selling their homes in an already weak housing market. It's called underwater mortgages. And billionaire hedge fund manager Carl Icahn is returning outside investors' capital, $1.76 billion, marking the end of an era as he joins a string of prominent stock pickers who no longer want the headaches of overseeing other people's money. Icahn, known for a knack of picking winners and his ability to face off with captains of industry, says he has grown weary of managing outside money as markets are becoming more unpredictable and investors more demanding. What does Carl Icahn know that we don't? Well, I'll tell you who would know, Gerald Celente, trends analyst. Gerald, what does he know?
Well, he's looking at what's going on around the world. George, only octogenarians have seen what's going on geopolitically, like what's unfolding in front of our eyes. They're going to be looking back and say, couldn't the people see it? This isn't about just the Middle East and North Africa. This is one domino falling after another, for real. And we're looking at the whole economic system has been pumped up by those digital dollars, not worth the paper they're not printed on. I want to read from you. This came out last week. Bernie Madoff, it was taped. He said, quote, it was always a business where you had to have an edge, and the little guy never got a break. The institutions controlled everything. I realized from a very early stage that the market is a whole rigged job. There's no chance that investors have in this market. He went on to say the government is, quote, one big Ponzi scheme. Icahn is a member of that team, and so are those other hedge funds that are bailing out, and that's why they're dumping out.
Unbelievable. What's new with TrendsResearch.com, Gerald?
Well, George, we're looking at the beginning of the first great war of the 21st century, and people better be prepared for it. This is not going to stop, and anybody that believes that our leaders have the answers to solve this, you know, they better grow up.
All right, thanks. Gerald Celente, he is right on. The Archdiocese of Philadelphia has suspended 21 priests after they were named in a grand jury report that alleged sexual abuse. Cardinal Justin Regali, the Archbishop of Philadelphia, once was the Archbishop of St. Louis, said the priests have been removed from the ministry while their cases are being reviewed. A new poll shows that young drivers are more likely to use cell phones while driving and that 30% of them have recently texted from behind the wheel. The release of the poll came as the Transportation Secretary, Ray LaHood, called distracted driving a deadly epidemic. What is wrong with people? Listen to these series of stories. In Michigan, the body of an unidentified man was found at the top of a 1,100-foot television broadcast tower. Oak Park police said the workers discovered the man way up on the top. They said it appears that he climbed the tower and died up there. They don't know what's going on. In Fort Pierce, Florida, a former St. Lucie County Fire District firefighter paramedic who took a man's foot in part of his leg from a crash scene in 2008 is now being sued by the foot's owner. I kid you not. Cindy Ikonomu has admitted that she took the foot belonging to Carl Lambert, who was seriously injured in 2008 in an accident. She said that she did so to help train her body recovery dog. An intruder breaks into a home in Portland, Oregon. He decides to take a shower. The owner of the house comes in with his two dogs. He goes up and says, "What are you doing in here?" The intruder locks the bathroom door because he's afraid the owner's going to shoot him and calls 911. And they come and arrest him. And it continues. A Burger King employee was jumped and assaulted by another Florida person who came in to buy fast food because the woman got upset and claimed that the staff spit on her hamburger. There's a video of her. She leaps over the counter and starts attacking everybody. Employees locked themselves in the bathroom and called police. What is wrong with people?
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Well, that's from my favorite movie, Network. Howard Beale. Peter Finch played that part. He's not with us anymore, but I'll tell you who is. Alex Jones, and he's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Our guest this hour, Alex Jones, of course. If you listen to Coast on a regular basis, or if you listen to Alex on his programs, you know who he is. If you're brand new to the show, he's an award-winning documentary filmmaker, media host, and political researcher as well. His website's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, always at the forefront of media. And though we're not going to dwell on this story because we've got some major issues to talk with Alex about tonight, we do have to ask him about his friend Charlie Sheen. Alex, welcome to the program. How are you?
George, I'm great. It's wonderful to be here with you and Gerald Celente. I'm honored to join you, especially when such momentous things are unfolding, like the Wall Street Journal announcing that the end of the dollar is approaching. This is a big deal, so I look forward to talking about it. But when Tom called me today about coming on, you know, I had a little bit of trepidation about talking about Charlie because he is a friend of mine. But the more I've thought about it, I'm actually happy to talk about it as long as you'd like to.
Just about 5 minutes, Alex, for just a couple reasons, because, you know, his personal life is his personal life, and I don't want to dwell on that. But you are his friend. He was on your radio program, and the bottom fell out for him afterwards because he kept talking. You were on The View, the television show. When it first started, I've got to tell you, I thought for a moment, this is probably one of the best publicity stunts I've ever witnessed. Generating publicity, getting people talking about his life, getting people to talk about his television show. I thought his ratings were going to go up even higher than what they were, and they were record-setting anyway. But something's wrong with him, and I've been watching him lately on the internet with these meltdowns that he's had. You know him better than any of us. What's wrong?
Well, it's a very complex issue, but look, I was out of this house about 3.5 weeks ago. I've known him for about 6.5 years, never seen him use drugs or drink. He was completely clean. And then he kind of fell out of contact in the last 7 months, except for a few phone calls and text messages. And we, before that, talked all the time because he was really into politics and news. And he did get back on drugs, back on alcohol, and, you know, hanging around with some unsavory type, you know, folks that are associated with that. And then he basically completely cleaned himself up. And then Chuck Lorre, the creator of the show, was putting out these vanity cards at the end of the show attacking him, saying he was dead
right,
inside and
right.
other things. And that kind of made Charlie mad. And I was saying, Charlie, go ahead and come on my show. And you know, let's just talk about the fact that you're clean and the show's coming back and get into some politics. And then they put out another 2.5 minutes, another old broadcast with a new vanity card attacking him. And I think he just decided, well, he told me this that day, to throw down the gauntlet. And I think as the stress has intensified, we've seen a lot of different sides to Charlie. But I wanted to just... I was thinking about what I was going to say here tonight to describe, you know, Charlie Sheen I know. And I don't know him that good. I mean, I've talked to him on the phone probably, you know, 500 times over the years and sent, you know, probably 1,000 text messages back and forth.
And he might be listening to you right now, or his friends are, and he's probably getting called right now saying, you got to turn on this show and listen. Alex is talking, but go ahead.
I mean, he may be. The last time I was on your show a year and a half ago talking about him, I didn't even tell him I was coming on about it. He actually heard it. But the point is that you know, even though I've been out to his house probably 10 times, I don't you know know Charlie Sheen as good as some people have known him for decades, but they say that they've seen the same thing I've seen. And here's the Associated Press. I can just read a couple small lines here. While U.S. television network CBS is keeping mum about Charlie Sheen, one of his co-stars has been speaking out and sharing kind words about the embattled actor. 2.5 Men star Holland Taylor defended the actor she has worked with since the show began 8.5 years ago in 2003. Quote, Charlie was cordial and polite with all the cast and mates and crew, sometimes even courtly and always witty, Taylor said Tuesday in an email to the Associated Press. We watch movies in his house occasionally, warm evenings with interesting, spirited conversation. This is the guy I know. Yeah, this is a very sad and complicated time. I really have no comment, she continued, because valuing my own history with Charlie and my abiding affection for him. And that's basically all I can say is that I thought he was coming on to talk about how he was clean and how it was great and how drugs mm-hmm. were bad, but, you know, also to talk about, 9/11 and the economy and what was happening. And then I basically woke him up from a nap when he was in the Bahamas. Maybe that was the fact that he was asleep and then on the phone in 2 minutes. And he's made some statements to that effect. And he was really, you know, supercharged. And a lot of it was, you know, poetic and dark satire. A lot of it were little personal jokes and things that, you know, we have or movies I've watched at his house. And then he was shocked whenever they canceled the rest of the season, which would, you know, cost him about $10 million.
Yeah.
When Chuck Lorre had been throwing all these stones at him, and Charlie got even madder because about a month ago, or more now, 5 weeks ago, he got a call. They actually came and visited him, and they said, "You will not talk bad about Chuck Lorre and this decision to cancel 4 of the episodes, or you'll be fired." Charlie said, "Okay, but I'm a really nice, friendly guy. I've always put up with this stuff. Why are you threatening me? I wasn't going to say anything." And they said, "Fine, just so you know." Then they began to undermine him in the press. They began to put the vanity cards out saying he was dead inside and that Chuck Lorre was going to outlive him. And I don't know Chuck Lorre. I'm not even trying to take sides here. It's just the issue is, you know, Charlie has a lot of different sides, but the one that, you know, a lot of people I've talked to is the same Charlie that I know, who's a classy, smart guy. Clearly, he's under incredible pressure. He's decided right. to stand up and fight these guys because he feels like he's been wronged, and he's set to lose in syndication about $100 million on the rest of this season and next season, and at least $50 million just in the payouts for the new shows next year. So this is a guy who just basically stood on the front line for what he believed in and has lost $150 million, and that is conservative. And when Sean Penn was at his house just a week and a half ago, he put me on the phone with Sean and said, "Give him that Mark Twain quote." So I'll give you that quote right now. "In the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot." Charlie, at the heart of this, feels like for 20-plus years, he's been off and on sober, and he feels like AA is a cult. I don't know that. I've never been involved with it, never had problems with things like that. And he feels like he's been totally dominated by basically a coterie or a cult that he likens to Scientology of AA, and that they're all about being part of the group and not being an individual. And he says he's done with that. And so I think this is Charlie breaking out and telling the world, "I don't care what you think about me." And now it's one of the biggest celebrity stories, if not the biggest.
Oh, it's huge. Well, let's just hope, Alex, he's not breaking apart, because he's a great talent. He's a good person deep down inside. He really is. And you know that, again, better than anybody. I just wanted to get your perspective on this, because the last couple internet blips that I've seen, and I think he did another one tonight, he just looks haggard and stressed out, and I hope he gets
the help. Well, he is. I mean, I'll tell you this, George. I mean, I'll reveal something here on air. I am not in the troll category, but I am in the category of telling Charlie, just because he's my friend and I care about him enough to not just be a yes man or an enabler, I told him, I said, "Look, you're going to lose this game of chicken at this level. You know, at least you're standing up for what you believe in, but I said, I believe they're going to fire you." I told him that 2 weeks ago, right after it happened, or almost 2 weeks ago. I've been proven right there, and I believe that this is a dark road. But sometimes you've got to stand up for what you believe in. So I admire him for his strength, but you can see the stress on him, and I just hope that under the stress, bad people don't creep into his life and try to get him
right.
back on drugs and
exactly.
things. There's a lot of evil in Los Angeles, and so I'm asking everybody, pray for Charlie Sheen. I know he's a good guy in his heart. I know he's under massive attack. Let's not just enjoy watching him, what some people call a meltdown. Let's hope that he comes out of this stronger on the other side, because the Charlie I know is a good guy.
He's a great talent, and you're right. He is a good person. He comes from a great family, and let's hope that whatever demons might be inside of him, and I think there are some, that he gets them and takes care of that. Alex, so many other things to talk about. We're coming up to the break here, and then we're going to come back and take calls and still talk with you about these incredible world issues, what's happening with gasoline prices, the Middle East, and everything else. Our special guest this hour, Alex Jones, his website's Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. I don't even want to say that Alex looks through the eyes of an alternative media person anymore, because what's beginning to happen is the stories that Alex has covered during his career, things that we've covered here on Coast to Coast, are becoming mainstream. Mainstream's going the other way. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Dr. Harvey Biggleson joins us. He's a doctor talking about why doctors are more harmful than germs. And when we come back, we'll continue the chat with Alex Jones and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Or with Alex Jones. Alex, with what many would consider to be rogue years ago with what you did and what we've done, are you seeing now that the masses are beginning to understand this in the direction that you have been going in for all these years?
That's a very important point, yes, for a lot of reasons. A, the internet and alternative media has grown. Mainstream media has lost so much credibility. But also because the globalist plan is now out in the open. I mean, 20 years ago when you were talking about this stuff Missouri, you were going off of documents, but we didn't have the internet, so people really couldn't check them. 16 years ago when I was on air, I would have to go down to the UT library and go to the microfilm to pull up David Rockefeller saying, "I want America to be like communist China," in the New York Times. And I could sit there and tell people, but still most people didn't have internet or didn't know how to look it up. So what's happened is now world government's been announced. Now the bankers have imploded the world economy. They're now offering their IMF World Bank run global Bancor as the new global digital currency that all other currencies will be controlled by. And we have so many insiders, so many sources that you were able to call last year, I was able to call last year with Pastor Lindsey Williams, who knows two oil executives. I know both their names, and have confirmed that he has been talking to them, and they told him, look for the Middle East to blow up next year. Look for the price of oil to go up to $150 or $200 a barrel. Here's Bloomberg today. Saudi Arabia's day of rage lures record bet on $200 oil coming up in just 2 months from now. And so what's happening is people heard myself and many others who had government documents, who had insiders telling us, I went to urban warfare drills. I talked to generals who were retired, and they said, yes, we're training our military to work with foreign military domestically in the United States for martial law during a designed, controlled economic implosion. And now here's the Ottawa Citizen with the headline, Canada, U.S. agree to use each other's troops in civil emergencies against their own populations. Well, that's in the news now, but what did I say in Endgame almost 4 years ago, Blueprint for Global Enslavement? Well, it wasn't my opinion. Judicial Watch sued and got the documents from the secret North American Union meeting where the Fortune 100 was there ordering around the leaders of the three governments. And in the meeting, the first thing they said, and Judicial Watch sued and got it, was number one rule, keep Fight Club secret. Don't tell the public. We're going to integrate North America by stealth. This is all public.
Yep.
This is all public. Then they went on and said, we're going to use the flu. We're going to use economic crisis and the threat of terror and the drug war to merge North America. What does Obama sign 2 weeks ago, President Obama? He signs the continental security perimeter that they were already setting up. So that's one government from Mexico all the way up to Alaska, all of North America, from Mexico's border with Guatemala all the way up to Alaska. One system, command and controlled. Canada is now under the control of NORTHCOM. The United States is now under the control of the military jurisdiction, like a Roman governorship. So is Mexico. All run not by the U.S. government, but by these offshore banks who literally, in those thousands of pages of documents, call the shots. Then in Endgame, it was even on C-SPAN. I have a clip of it. Bush met with Merkel, President Bush met with Merkel, the president of Germany, and Barroso, the head of the EU at the time, and he says, we are merging with the Transatlantic Alliance, the North American Union, with the EU. That merger happened in 2007. This stuff has already happened. Here's a key example, and I got to go back to Endgame because it covers it all. In 2007, they had the 50th anniversary of the European Union in the 15-member original part of the EU. Now, publicly, the EU didn't start until 2000. Here's the 50th anniversary in 2007, because under the Treaty of Rome, the European Union was created in 1957. The public wasn't told.
Ah.
It was just trade deals until 2000. We are already not in a North American Union. We are already part of a 10-region world union with 10 regions per country, 10 global regions. We're under 10 FEMA governors, governors appointed by the president, selected. And that's why Jesse Ventura's TV show, the police state episode that I was part of, got censored under Homeland Security threats, because it broke down where the FEMA camps are, how they're real, the legislation, the threat fusion centers, the spy grids, the torture centers they've set up. All of this is real. The foreign banks have come in. They have imploded the country. They have created 1.5 quadrillion in derivatives. And now they plan on destroying the dollar. And how do you do that? Well, you have the Wall Street Journal come out with the headline 3 days ago, why the dollar's reign is near an end. You have CNN come out and talk about, oh, it's kind of cute and fun to have the dollar die. You have Time Magazine and Newsweek say the same thing. And then you attack one of the biggest holders of T-bills. People think it's China, but that's only one nation. You add all the Arabs together and the Middle East, and then spreading to the Mediterranean, it's more than the trillion
that
the Chinese have. What do you do to them? You go in, and you already have an angry population, not saying that it isn't legitimate what they're doing, but it's on record that MI6, CIA is in Egypt, is in Libya, overthrowing, destabilizing, so they can basically bring all the Arab countries, Saudi Arabia, into turmoil to drive up oil prices, then say that they're not reliable anymore. Then they start devaluing the dollar. Everybody races out of T-bills. You've now cheated the Arabs. You've now cheated the American people. Now the bankers can step forward with the solution of their new global digital currency. You'll still have your dollar, still have your euros, but they'll all be denominated and based and controlled by the bankers, who will have total global domination over everyone. And now they can dictate to the rich West, as they've been dictating in the last 100 years with gunboat diplomacy, to the third world. And so that's why they're moving to start the destruction of the dollar, but all other major global currencies, as they, over the next decade, fold them in to the new, publicly announced by the IMF and World Bank, cashless society,
yep,
Bancor currency based on carbon taxes, where everything you do is tracked and traced, and part of the taxes are paid directly to the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Queen of England, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, who all on record own the carbon trading scams. This is the greatest mafia takeover in the history of the world, global, economic, complete, and absolute domination, treason from inside the U.S. government to bring down America. And folks, you have been warned. We have the jump on them, because a lot of patriots knew about this decades ago and were willing to warn people. A lot of government insiders warned people. We are now coming to the end of a 50-year plan. Brzezinski's even talked about this. Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of the top globalist planners. And you right now, ladies and gentlemen, have to understand that the people who are going to offer you the solution to the incredible depression they've engineered are not going to take you out of the depression. They're going to bring you into a deeply controlled cashless society control grid with Stasi spies on every street corner and endless war and just total evil.
Well said, Alex. And we're going to watch all of it unfold as it is now. Scott in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, you're up with Alex Jones. Go ahead, Scott.
Hi, this is great. I get to talk to my two biggest heroes. Alex, you started me out on my journey in 2005 with 9/11, when I realized what my government had done to my people. This is terrible. And then Bohemian Grove took me to a whole nother level. I read the Franklin cover-up book. The government and the occult is closer than 19 is to 20. And I think that's the bigger picture. It's too late. It's a million daggers. It's end game. I mean, all the pieces are in place. It's too late to stop, even if we want to.
Well, I know this, my friend.
Is it too late, Alex?
No, it is. It is not too late. And you know, when people misinterpret what I say about 9/11, criminal, corporate, and government elements were clearly involved in 9/11. That does not mean the entire government. It means elements of it. And I hate to argue with the nice caller, but I've got a will and a instinct to fight. Yeah, if we put a choice out to the people of the world, and if we point out just how evil the globalists are, their system is going to fall apart. You know, somebody like the caller isn't well known, probably, so he doesn't talk to people on the street. I'm well known. George is well known. People recognize us. I get mobbed everywhere. You know, when police pull me over for speeding, they shouldn't let me go, but they almost always do because they're listeners. Most people are actually awake now. The final domino to fall is that we all feel like we're alone. Sir, it doesn't have to be the end of the world. We don't have to believe this 150-year-old misinterpretation of the Bible, basically put out by the New World Order types, that it's all a self-fulfilling prophecy and just lay down in the ditch and die. That's not what my Bible teaches. And even if it is the end of the world coming, God is testing us to see what we're going to do now in this test. And if we just lay down and say, you know, there's nothing we can do about it, well, I can tell you right now, God at the great white throne judgment is going to say, I don't know you. I mean, you look at, you know, because I hear this from a lot of Christians about laying down to government, and I don't want to preach here, but did the prophets lay down in the face of threats and corruption? Did they say it was impossible? No, they did the opposite, and that's our job, is to lead as an example. But I'll tell you right now, we don't just have the opportunity to defeat these people. We are going to defeat them. Humanity is going to the stars, and our destiny is much greater than letting a bunch of scallywag bankers run counterfeiting scams on us and buying up the whole planet through fraud.
Did you see Donald Rumsfeld, former Secretary of Defense, was on my buddy Mankow's program a few weeks ago while he was pitching his book, and Mankow asked him about Building 7.
And he said, building what?
He didn't even know what it was. He said he didn't know what it was. I can't believe that, Alex.
Yeah, it's a 47-story building. It'd be the biggest building in 40-plus states that have the CIA, Defense Intelligence, the State, County, and Federal Emergency Center in it. It blows up at 5:25 in the afternoon, and Donald Rumsfeld doesn't know anything about it, but then I have scores of TV stations saying, get back, police saying, get back, they're going to blow it up. And I heard on the news that day, I've been broadcasting all day, and I ran out to pick up a pizza down the street, and I heard CBS Radio News, still on at that time, report they are going to bring down the Solomon Brothers in a controlled demolition. NPR was reporting it.
Yep.
They blew it up and told us they blew it up and then said, you never heard that. We didn't blow it up. And now Rumsfeld says it basically doesn't exist.
They didn't even know about the building, which I don't believe.
Oh, that's a total lie.
I don't, of course. Yeah. Let's go to our Skype caller, Julio in Macomb, Illinois. Go ahead, Julio.
Good morning to you, gentlemen, both. Alex, man, you've inspired me to do a lot. I did a report on Rahm Emanuel, and, you know, it's pretty awesome. I got something for you, a pretty huge document from Arkansas on the national-level exercise, and it's discussing timelines for mass care and civil evacuations and shelters. And you talked about in your show a couple weeks ago about emergency broadcast systems. Well, for NLE 2011, the exercise coming up May 9th, they are going to have emergency broadcast systems testing with this system.
Yeah, for those that don't know, President Obama has now announced in a press release 3 weeks ago that he is now going to start breaking into radio and TV when they do the test with recorded messages. And if you try to go to the store, 9,000 locations, they have telescreens telling you to spy on your neighbors. They're forcing their way in. And we talk about foreign troops, mainstream news. In NLE 09 and NLE 010 at FEMA.gov, they trained with 14 different nations how to take on the government's number one enemy, the American people. The government has been hijacked by foreign banking terrorists, and they're publicly preparing for war with us when they steal everybody's pension funds.
What was that movie, 7 Days in May, the old black and white, where Burt Lancaster was a general, and he was devising a plan where he would go on television by overtaking every network with a flip of a switch, Alex?
That's an excellent film, yeah. And that's based on the emergency alert system. But now, the Internet, all the hubs, that's how the feds all the time. Just a few weeks ago, they took over 86,000 websites with a flick of a switch and redirected them to Homeland Security. And it turned out they were all innocent, had done nothing wrong. But now, no judge, no court order, radio, TV, it's all wired through this. But they've had that since 96 in place before the local stations, as you know, George, would just dial to a local emergency channel that was government-controlled. But now the president's going to be breaking in like Ceausescu in Romania or Uncle Joe Stalin or that guy with a mustache from Germany and just telling us, and if we're not tuned in, don't worry, the new EAS is going to break in on your cell phone with text and video and going to force you during a phone call to your wife, oh, sorry, honey, we got cut off. There was a message from our dear, gracious leader. Oh, I mean, again, every trapping of a tyranny is being set up.
It is amazing. Let's go next to Spearfish, South Dakota. Al, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Al. Grab you.
Hello, George. Hello, Alex Jones.
Hey, buddy.
God bless you, man, and thank you for your service. I want to say that to you. Boy, this is making my life tonight. If you could just let me ramble for like 30 seconds.
You got it.
I could back you on the foreign troops coming here because you and the Black Hills Korean police were here last summer training with our National Guard. And I want to let you know, the word is out. People are getting ready. I mean, I got backup batteries to make ice. I got an ice machine so I could keep my insulin. People are getting ready. People are getting prepared. I got one date from you, Mr. Jones. It was March 23rd, 2005, when Bush signed us into the EU for 7 years. And I found a scripture in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, talking about the beginning of tribulation starts when that 7-year covenant's reconfirmed.
Well, all I know is this, sir. It is the Ottawa Citizen, it is Associated Press, that they have publicly announced foreign troops to suppress the American people. And they're just putting it out like it's no big deal. This is not rumors, ladies and gentlemen. This is real. This is high treason.
Alex, May 21st this year, a number of people think it's Judgment Day. It's the end. They'll be taken. The bad ones will be left behind. I think I'll be here. I think you'll be here. Not that we're bad. I don't think it's Judgment Day on May 21st. You've heard the story?
Yes, I have. Look, if Judgment Day comes and a giant meteor hits us or something happens, we're not going to probably know about it. And people say the March 15th, the end of the world and all this, and that I'm not going to be, you know, on air that day or Infowars.com won't be there. No, I'm going to be there that day. Heaven forbid I have a car wreck or something. That'll start conspiracy theories.
Oh, you got that right.
But, I mean, look, folks, stop copping out and always thinking it's the end of the world. You know, our future is being decided right now. Don't cop out. Take action. George and I, God willing, are going to be here. People are waking up. Exciting things are happening. The average police officer, the average military person, they're good. People in government, on average, they're good. We've got to get this information out about what's happening to everybody and block the globalist at the pass. We've got to do it. History is being made right now. They're trying to openly have their world government take over. They're launching it right now. Let's defeat it, and let's have it blow up on the launch pad right as they hit their main ignition. We can do it together, and thank God for Coast to Coast AM and all your great work.
Alex Jones, his websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Truly remarkable job that he and his staff do. I'll be back in a moment as we talk about doctors are more harmful than germs. How can that be? We'll find out.